Welcome in to today's Walk the Pine. Today we got a really big episode. The NBA playoffs are just started. The NBA playoffs are upon us, and we've had some real good starts to the series so far. A lot of good game ones, a couple good games twos last night. We're about to get into it. You know, we got Will here. We got JP with us again.
Hello. What's going on?
We're so back.
It's just back. Like Pinewood Live. Feels awesome.
When we get four microphones, it's going to be a lot better. In a new studio.
Life will be better.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will be.
But anyways, what were you guys doing these past few days? You guys been watching the games?
So I didn't get to watch any of the game ones, unfortunately. I was occupied in Whitewater. So they didn't have any of the
T-shirt pending.
T-shirt is pending. I got arrested.
Well,
that was fun.
You spoiled the T-shirt, but fine.
I feel like it'd be cool for me to talk about being arrested, but I guess I keep
up. I guess that's true. We'll start there. How was jail?
Second time in jail. It was much better this time around. I have not really actually been in like jail, just a cell. I have, you know, limited jail experience, but I've been arrested.
How many push-ups did you get done?
Zero. So,
damn.
Yeah, sipping a beer on the street in Whitewater is not allowed.
Nothing cool is allowed in Wisconsin. This is something that I've learned from being in Wisconsin.
Dude, I feel like Wisconsin, usually everything's allowed in Wisconsin.
I don't know. What
I literally said that to the guy. In Whitewater, dude, like all of the a DUI, your first DUI in Whitewater is a slap on the fucking wrist. Like, drinking and alcohol is cool in Wisconsin. It's like what they're known for, beer and cheese. So I was like, all right, what the fuck ever, dude. I'm sipping a beer right outside the bar.
No, you weren't.
Bullshit.
Be real with the people. Come on.
Sipping a White Claw right outside the bar.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Getting laughed at for focusing on my weight.
Nope, not laughing. Just asking. Making sure you're not a liar. That's all.
I like beer. I don't know why it's a big deal what I said.
I didn't say anything was a big deal. All I wanted to do is clarify the story because it's not the story I heard.
Okay, yeah. So I'm sipping a White Claw outside the bar. No bullshit. No fucking bullshit. A fucking van. A big black van rolls up. Probably like seven cops bust out of the van. And I'm like, oh shit, who are they after? So I literally go back to having my conversation with my friend Austin. And one of the cops, they popped out the van and I was like, oh, that's crazy, whatever. Like, I'm a little drunk. And he goes, what are you drinking? And I looked at him, I said, a White Claw. And he goes, all right, you're under arrest. I said, what? And I was like, actually? And he goes, yeah, you know, let me start filling out your paperwork. And I was like, for what? And he goes, public intoxication. And I was like, isn't this like open seal?
Who said I'm intoxicated?
Yeah, allegedly.
I'm a big boy, shit.
Yeah. So he starts filling out the paperwork. He cuffs me. And I'm like, okay, this is happening. And I didn't think I was actually going to have to go down to the station or anything. Dude, I thought they were just going to rent me a ticket. And he goes, we got the squad car pulling up here for you in a second. And I was like, oh, I'm like actually going to jail right now. And he goes, yeah, you shouldn't be in there long, though. Just got to, you know, go through everything and then have somebody come bail you out. And I was like, oh.
How much was bail?
$350. I bailed myself out. I'm not broke. There's more where that came from, but. No. So that's what was funny about it. So there was a situation earlier in the day where I had a T-shirt made for myself for Spring Splash. It was funny. I paid it was a $20 to get it made, and I paid $25, and that was like a joke. Like, I gave him $25, and I was like, "Yeah, there's more where that came from." So then somebody was talking about how they do crack down on tickets in Whitewater, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm not worried about it. There's more where that came from." And that was like the running joke all day, and then I actually got arrested. Paid a $350 ticket, which I was like, this sucks.
That's what you get for bragging about money.
It was just an inside joke, dude. I mean, I actually am not like rich. in any way whatsoever. I wouldn't even call myself comfortable. Like, I am broke in the grand scheme of life. I am broke. So, yeah, got arrested. I'm in the jailhouse. And, yeah, that's when they were like, all right, yeah, you have to, you know, post bail and everything. And I was like, all right, how much? When they said 350, that's where I was like, all right, this is no, like, I was cracking jokes the entire time. I was having people take pictures of me. I was posing with the cops, you know, just having some fun with it. And then, yeah, in jail, cracking up with the jailhouse ladies, the people doing my paperwork. Everyone's having a good time. And then the 350 came, and I was like, all right, this ain't funny anymore. What do I got to do to get out of this ticket? They're like, well, you can contest it in court. And I said, well, what are the odds I win? And they said, well, were you drinking alcohol on the street? And I was like, allegedly. I said, allegedly. They all started cracking up. And then I looked at the guy who was doing my paperwork. I said, I was, but like, come on, what do I got to do? And he goes, and it was kind of funny. He was just like, can you go ahead and say that just a little bit louder for me into the microphone? And I was like, all right, yep, yeah, pal. Glad you're having a good fun time with this. So yeah, got out and then just went on with my day. And that was it. But yeah, I think we can make some t-shirts out of my mugshot, or maybe me being cuffed and going into the car. That could be cool. Make some money on that. But yeah, didn't get the game. Moral of the story is, did not get to watch the game ones. Got to watch a lot of great game twos, though.
Yeah, some good game twos at least. Game ones were all pretty good as well. Obviously,
The second wave of game twos are tonight, right? We don't have any game three starting yet.
Nope, just game twos today.
All right.
Pretty excited about it. Yesterday's game twos were awesome. We'll start with the game ones. The Timberwolves, obviously. We're a big headliner. You know, the Suns, obviously, it was a close game throughout the game until about, like, the end of the third quarter, mid-end of the third quarter is when they really started to take it. Obviously, Anthony Edwards was unconscious, played a great game. You know, it's still Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, so we're not going to count them out just yet, but obviously that was a very big performance, a very big game for the Timberwolves to just come out and take control and win. So 1-0 over there. Also, we saw the Knicks win. Arguably could have went both ways, but the Sixers ended up losing it in the end. They did the same thing in game two. Had a lot of good opportunities towards the end of the game. Couldn't get it done. Ended up blowing it. Just like the Lakers.
Yeah, I'm not really happy about the Knicks being up 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, them being up 2-0 is, you know, bye-bye Sixers.
They'll get the calls in Philadelphia, though. They could easily be 2-2. With how those games are going in New York, this series could be 2-2.
But they can, but Joel is hurt. Maxie's hurt. They're both just playing through it. It's noticeable. You can tell. I don't know.
But the games are close in New York. Like, it could easily be 2-0 in two games.
Yeah, that second game, they blew it. The second game, it should be 1-1. It really should be 1-1, but they blew it.
And the refs weren't giving Nick Nurse the timeout on the inbound. Twice he tried to call a timeout. Even when Maxie was on the floor with the ball, he tried calling
that. It's a loud stadium.
You got to have somebody looking at the coach for that kind of stuff.
I would agree. It's something you don't miss, but I mean, you shouldn't miss. But
you got four refs on the court?
It happens. I mean, it doesn't change the turnover. It doesn't change the offensive rebound.
Of course. I'm just saying.
That game's over if you get that offensive rebound.
That game's over if they give him a timeout. Maybe.
Arguably. But it's actually over if you just get the rebound. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, they blew that game multiple different times. It wasn't just that play, but they blew that game.
I'm not really trying to like give excuses, because like it was impressive. You know what they did? Like, they came back. They earned it pretty much fair and square. Like, they fought for the rebound. I don't know.
Pretty much.
I mean, Dante DiVincenzo put up a second one. He made it. I'm really excited to see this Timberwolves game today. But going back to what the Cavs also, dominated the Magic.
That's, twice now, they've dominated
twice now,
the Magic.
Looking like that's going to be the only sweep of the first round. Besides, what could potentially be a sweep over in Milwaukee as well. We saw the Giannis-less Bucks just roll in and destroy.
Is he going to be back?
I don't know if he's going to be back for the next game. I don't think it really matters. They steamrolled them. And not only did they steamroll them, they really exposed how bad that Pacer defense is, because they could not stop them every single play. And obviously the Pacers have a pretty good offense, and all season long, we've, like, especially in the beginning of the season, we're really praising their offense. But at the end of the day, their defense has always been in question, and the Bucks really exposed that. We're going to see if Rick Carlisle could really make some adjustments. But the way it was looking in that game one, Dame Lillard played great. That was awesome.
Say that again.
Dame Lillard played great. That was awesome.
He did.
He was alone. Cool. No, not alone, but, you know, Giannis played great. I believe he had 34.
This is still probably the best roster that Dame has had, regardless of Giannis being gone.
True. With,
maybe.
Middleton,
I don't know,
also put up 23-10. Bobby Portis had 15-11. You know, the bench guys definitely contributed. Everyone on the bench scored besides Dame Lillard, 35.
No, AJ
shot
45%
from the field.
AJ Green didn't score.
Oh.
He did good. Who cares if AJ Green didn't score? Did, what's his name? Thompson?
Yeah, I don't think he played. Clippers also dominated the Mavericks. That was another game that was James Harden played awesome. You know, Kyrie.
Let's dive into that Bucks series a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Is it Rick Carlisle or is it the team? Because when Rick Carlisle was in Dallas, they had great defense in Dallas.
I definitely think it's the team. I mean, look at their roster of people. I mean, Siakam is the only one that you'd really look at and be like, that's a good defender. Miles Turner is a rim protector, but he's nowhere, not what you'd consider to be a good defender. And no one really else on their roster is. Halliburton is,
I mean,
not
TJ
either.
TJ McConnell, obviously, but.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize this, but Halliburton scored 9 points. I mean, he had 7 rebounds and 8 assists, so obviously he was affecting the game very well. A steal block, but he shot the ball 7 times. So not that he shot a bad percentage. He shot 57%, but he shot the ball 7 times. I did not see that. I did not.
Yeah, if you want to be a superstar and a team leader, you can't be doing that.
7 times. That's crazy.
I mean, Drew Holiday might have just been 37 minutes. Drew Holiday might have just been locking his ass up. Drew Holiday's a great on-ball defender.
But then there's these, I mean, Siakam had 25 shot attempts, Miles Turner 17 shot attempts. These other guys, Nesmith, I think it's Aaron.
Drew Holiday, I'm being stupid. Sorry.
9 field goal attempts.
I don't know why.
6 from the other guy and 7 from Halliburton.
Which just shows you how little I've
13 from TJ McConnell. I mean, just to compare it to the Bucks starting lineup, everybody in the Bucks starting lineup, with the exception of Patrick Beverley, put up more than 10 shot attempts. Patrick Beverley put up 5. Everybody else hit the 10, and then after that, it was low as 14 with Middleton, who was also still 20.
I mean, yeah, this is how I saw that. Who gives a shit about the box scores, honestly? Like, I mean, this is how I saw this series That's going.
Wild. How many fouls did he have?
Patrick Beverley?
Yeah.
You are a Pat Bev hater.
Right, he fucking sucks.
He shot a decent percentage.
Well, you're rooting for him to win a ring this year.
He had 3 fouls.
You know that, right?
3 fouls, 2 assists.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're going to attribute
2 steals, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, 5 points. Honestly, that's a really good Patrick Beverley game. Shot 40% from the field, too.
Now, what does that say? It's a great Patrick Beverley night. 5, 8, 7, and 8.
8 assists, 7 rebounds, 5 points, 2 steals. Is that not a good starting point? Like,
fucking elite. Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, this guy's not their best player. Like, he's
no, he's
the
not
worst player in the starting lineup, and that
yeah,
is pretty
he probably
good.
Is.
8 assists, seven rebounds for a point guard, 5 points, 1 steal. Shot 40%, so he's not like he shot like a ton of shots. That's a pretty efficient game from a guy who won. Is it not?
I'm not saying it's not. What we need to talk about is the series in general. Like, I don't know why people of Indiana thought, like, this was going to be a, yeah. Like, who cares that they went 4-1 in the regular season? I could give a shit less. That don't mean shit when it comes postseason time. Doc Rivers is going to be slandered, yes, but overall, just because of his past and everything. But he had his boys ready for game one. I expect them to gentleman sweep Indiana, no problem. This team is loaded without Giannis. It's not the problem here. It just goes to show you how little the regular season can impact at the end of the season. 100%.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree. I wouldn't be surprised if they even 4-0'd them.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
The Pacers were playing great at the beginning of the season. In the season tournament, they played great.
Way different in the playoffs.
Things are different, yeah.
Yeah, everything's completely different.
Style of offense changes immensely.
And defense. Everything.
But, well,
everything.
Yeah, both. Everything. With one changing the other. But I'm just saying, like, it's not as sloppy. So, like, everyone's athleticism matters, I would say, quite a bit less. Like, yeah, it's cool during the regular season. A little bit more sloppy play. You're trying new things. You're trying different rosters, like different lineups. So mistakes are made, and you get high-flying, fast breaks. All that's cool. But, like, now you're really setting up your half-court offense. Like, you're really executing every time down the court, or at least that's, like, the goal. So it's not – you're not going to get lucky. You're not going to get these easy steals if it's, like, a legitimate team. And you just see the coaching schemes come out, like – who draws up the best plays, and then you just see like which players can really execute. And
yep,
that's way different than regular season play.
Yep.
Yeah, in every way, shape, or form.
That's what I also want to get into is the Cavs, or not the Cavs, the Mavericks and the Clippers. Not a good look.
Nope.
Your Luka Doncic take looks a little bit better after one game.
We'll
see how it looks after the series, but is Kawhi going to be playing for game two?
I don't know what Kawhi's availability is looking like for the next game. I don't know if they announced that yet. But overall, we saw a really, really, really good game from the Clippers and Ty Lue. Obviously, they had a lot planned for these guys, Kyrie and Luka, almost in a way where it looked like they were like, Kyrie and Luka can't beat us themselves, and they showed that. I mean, Kyrie with 31, Luka with 33. They both had very, very solid stat lines, but no one else on this team had anything noticeable. I think they basically kind of just took everybody else out of the game. Ty Lue obviously put on a pretty masterful coaching job, and James Harden played great, 28 points, and Paul George also played great. Zubac is really what dominated this game with the 20 and 15, and also
that's the issue with
backing down every single time. He was scoring with no problem.
Well, that's the issue with the Dallas Mavericks, dude. They have no size on that team whatsoever.
And Zubac was just exposing it, backing him down.
That's why this team cannot win.
Over and over.
Defense is back. Playoff defense is awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, so why the Mavericks are going to struggle is when the defenders, when people start caring, the big boys go to work.
Yeah, and not two guys are going to beat you. You need to have a complete team, and this is not a complete team, and they never really have had much of a complete team over in Dallas. I mean, there's a couple of times when they definitely had parts they didn't use wisely. But again, this is just going to show what I said about Luka Doncic. And this is what we're going to see about Luka Doncic. I think for the remainder of his career, he's going to be a great player. He's going to be an MVP candidate. He's going to put up MVP numbers, and he's going to do this every single time.
He's going to LeBron at some point for sure. He's going to go somewhere and win.
Maybe.
You know, he came into the league around the same age as LeBron.
LeBron's game is easier to translate to playing with two other superstars, I feel like. I'm not sure. Luka Doncic doesn't seem like the type of player that you put into the circumstance of like LeBron, D Wade, and Bosh. You put Luka and players similar to D Wade and Bosh on a team like that, and I just don't necessarily see them. You look at those Cavs teams that LeBron had, and there was a lot of good role players, and they had size. But not only did they have size, but LeBron James was part of their size. Luka doesn't really fit that same thing. But this team.
So what's the complaint about Luka's play?
He's more comparable to James Harden with Houston than he is LeBron.
I think so.
In what way?
Well, I feel like LeBron is more of a player to actually go and make other players on his team better. I don't think Luka does that nearly as well. I mean, obviously, I think with players like LeBron and Luka that are very good and very ball dominant and to the point where they basically are your system of offense, you're obviously going to have certain players that aren't going to play well with them. We've seen that with LeBron too. There's been players that have played with LeBron on LeBron teams and not played very well at all. They go to a different team and they end up playing very well. That happens with a lot of players both ways. So then you see players who aren't very good on other teams and they go play with LeBron James and now they're what, almost an all-star. They were an all-star. I mean, Tristan Thompson is a great example. James Jones is a good example. I mean, the list goes on. J.R. Smith. I mean, those are those Cavs teams that won and that actually were like winning teams. With Luka, I feel like there's not many people that we can say have gone to the Mavericks and become better players than they were anywhere else. I don't think there's a single player I could think of that.
Well, it really doesn't look good is Porzingis and Brunson going on and having.
Porzingis, Brunson. I mean, Seth Curry has been good everywhere he's gone. I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, Dwight Powell is a good player for them.
Seth Curry was good in Dallas, though.
No, yeah, he was good in Dallas, but he was good everywhere is what I'm trying to say. He was the same type of good everywhere. It wasn't like he was a better player and a worse player noticeably.
The only two players that Luka has significantly played with outside of Kyrie is Brunson and Porzingis.
And look at what happened.
And both of them have left and played better. But look at Kyrie is also having a career year, which we haven't seen him have in a long time with Luka.
Right. That's true.
I don't know. I'd really have to look back and I'd have to see like shooting percentages and all that. But shit, in game one, Luka has 33, Kyrie has 31. No one else is in double figures except for PJ Washington with 11. Derek Jones Jr., 0. Daniel Gafford, 3.
I mean, their team is not good.
3, outside of those 6, two. 4.
And not to mention Daniel Gafford was getting worked in the paint.
Because he's like their biggest body.
Yeah, and he was getting worked.
Their team is not set up well. Like, really.
Yeah. I don't know.
And what good teams has Jason Kidd ever coached?
So,
I don't know. This Maverick team... They were playing very good basketball at the end of the season. We were expecting them to come in there and give us a much better game one. Obviously, it's very easy, you know, as fans, it's very easy to be like, yeah, this is a 4-0. Obviously, they spanked them in the first game. But the realistic thing is, these are NBA basketball teams, these are NBA players. I mean, this still can be a 7-game series.
I don't think this is too much of a – I don't think yet this is too much a reflection of – Luka, like,
no, not
I mean,
yet.
Dude, like, is it Luka's fault that these guys can't score at all? I mean, he's got good assist numbers. Like, no, he's not LeBron James at the beginning of his career, where he's the best player. Like, on any given night, he can be the best shooter. He's gonna be the best at taking it to the rim. He's gonna be the best defender on the floor. Like, no, Luka. Like, oh, and he's going to be the best passer, all this shit. Like, no, Luka is not that. Like, he's never going to be your best defender on the floor. And he's not going to – he's just not the physical presence that LeBron was. But, like, I mean, dude, he's got great court vision. He does take a lot of shots, but, I mean, he's still an efficient scorer. Like, I don't think this is necessarily a reflection on him. I'm not ready to call him a James Harden yet. That's not.
Harden was an MVP candidate for years. Harden was like one of the best.
He was an MVP.
Well, yeah, but he was an MVP candidate for years.
Yeah,
as well.
He was like runner up.
Multiple people, especially during that time, it was like James Harden is what, the third best shooting guard of all time at this point, like behind Kobe and MJ, and I guess Dwayne Wade too. At the time, people were having conversations like, this guy's a top five shooting guard. This guy's
I can't control people being.
Well, that's
stupid.
My point is to compare him to James Harden in that time. It's not necessarily taking all that much away from the guy. It's not like James Harden wasn't a great player in that time. But what ended up happening is he didn't win championships. Now he has potential to win a championship on a team like the Clippers, where he's putting up 28 points still. And I mean, he's still a significant player. I think the reason for
these last couple of years on great teams, he's had really. I mean, like, overall, his numbers are decent, but, like, no, he's had multiple games where he doesn't show up where they need him to. So that's like
been in Houston too, though.
I'm just saying, like, he's more at fault. Like, Harden's shown it. I get it. Like, you don't want to judge him just off of his Houston teams. Like, yeah, he had a lack of support a lot of times, but then he's this multi-million-dollar, this max contract guy, trying out three great teams and not doing shit. Like, when it's like in his power to win these games and he shows up and comes up short, like, to me that shows that
He was.
Listen, he's a good player, but like, it is fair to have like, oh, he's not that guy to win a championship, because he's like the second or third best player on the team, and he still can't like bring it home. Luka's just his career is too soon. Like, I'm not saying that won't be the case. I'm just saying right now, like, that doesn't feel fair to me. Like, he's dropping.
Harden was a what, 2009 pick? He was in like year 8 or 9 when all of this was going down with Houston, 2016, 2017. So he was like year 8 and year 9. Where they, so I mean, okay, you got
Luka's what at 5? 4?
Luka was a 2018 draft pick.
So yeah, 6, 7.
6.
Yeah.
Well, he had the
5-6
ended the season in 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. This is a 6th season. So yeah.
Right.
You know, we're pushing the limits here. You know, I mean, he needs a roster around him.
We're getting there, and the rosters right now that he's had are getting to be, they were good. Like, I don't, Jalen Brunson, Porzingis, that was one team.
Well, I mean, solid. Porzingis, yeah, it does look really bad. You know, Brunson was in a different role than he was than he is in now.
Right, and he's still a young player. So
that was all that happened. Is they didn't pay him as much.
Yeah,
they were going to pay him in New York.
And I, it's not to say, but he probably wouldn't be having what the career he is right now if he was on the same team as Luka. Not to say he wouldn't be having a good career, but I mean, Brunson was an MVP candidate, was top 5 in MVP voting probably this year because of what he did in New York. Like, he is their team like that, and they don't even have Julius Randle, which is honestly probably better.
Get that.
I mean, that's a pretty good New York Knicks team, but again, filled with a lot of
2016 Villanova minus Ryan Arcidiakono, and they had Ryan Arcidiakono at one point this year.
A lot of role players and Jalen Brunson. I mean, it's a lot of what you're looking at in Dallas, but besides, you also have Kyrie Irving.
It's literally Tibbs and Rose.
I don't know. Obviously, it's too soon to like say this is going to be a quick series. I feel like if this is a quick series, though, it will go to say.
No, you can't make any judgments really off of game one.
Yeah, it is game one, but at the same time, I mean, there's a statistic out there that the team who wins game one is how many times winning the series.
I think it's like, what, 65%? I mean, yeah, odds are higher, yeah.
I mean, game ones are a big deal. I don't think it's a...
You got to understand.
I would agree. It's not fair to say, like, oh, this is going to be a quick series and, like, oh, the Mavericks are done or whatever. Yeah, like, it's too soon. But I will say that if we do see those things, if we see game two is similar, game three, if we see them actually get 4 games, 5 games, like, that is a very big deal.
I would like to see the numbers based on just the 4-5, though. Because you got to understand, 1-8 and 2-7, you can always guarantee pretty much that.
Of course.
True. The numbers are going to be skewed there because game one versus 8, 2 versus 7.
How many times is that? Yeah, I would agree.
Most of the time, you're locking in a gentleman sweep series there. So it's like, I would like to see the numbers on the 4-5 series on what they are. If whoever takes game one, I'm not too worried about it. I still think that we're in good show. I think we're going to have a good series still. That's not what I'm worried about. Let's talk about the game twos real quick before we wrap this up. Lakers, are they done?
That was bad. That was so bad.
Yes.
Like, that was so bad. The game one, I thought, okay, here's the game LeBron wins. Come out, play strong. They win this game. They're leading the entire first half. I'm like, okay. This is the game LeBron comes out, wins, or probably just lose 4 straight after this. 4-1, get him out of here. Blew it. Lost. Okay, whatever. Game two comes around. I'm thinking maybe we're looking at a sweep, or maybe we'll get a LeBron game here and there. Same exact thing, besides they held the lead up until the end.
Yep.
End of the third quarter is when they really started to slip, and then that fourth quarter, man. And that was a bad, bad, bad fourth quarter. It was very bad end of the fourth quarter. And, yeah, he missed that one free throw as well that obviously ended up how it ended up. And Jamal Murray, man. Jamal Murray is a bad man. That's what I said to you in my text yesterday. That was fucking awesome.
I've been saying this since fucking January. In big moments, Jamal Murray will be there. People want to talk about how he's not having a good enough regular season. I've been saying, look at his number. Look at his numbers against top teams in the NBA. They're almost doubled compared to his normal or against any other, you know, average Joe team. This man coasts. He's a guy who's dealt with injury history. He knows how good his team is. He knows he's playing with the best player on the planet. This is not a guy who needs to show up in a fucking game in February against the Houston Rockets.
Right, no.
But when it comes time, he will be there. And it's when it matters, it matters. And he will be there.
He played awesome.
This team, Jokic could be the best player on the planet. That's fine. This team cannot win a championship without Jamal Murray.
Oh, of course not. He's a very, very, I mean, he's at his best, like you said, when he's playing at his best. He is a high, high level point guard. That is a very, very good point guard. He's always been a good player when he's playing.
The cat and mouse game, like with him and Jokic, you can't stop that. I was watching the game last night and I just thought to myself so many times, I'm like, you just can't stop it. Like if you
and their team,
you really can't give Jamal an open jumper. And you can't slack off of Jokic.
Either way, you can't let him go towards the
basket. Dude, they genuinely might be the best team in transition in the NBA.
And not only can they, like, building off what JP was just
saying. Right, and then you got Aaron Gordon who can jump out of the gym if both of them happen to be covered. Like, just toss him the ball.
Michael Porter and acquired Aaron Gordon, within a 3-year span. When those two things happen within, like, 3 to 4 year span. That really changed their team, man, so much. I mean, they are so versatile when it comes to that pick and roll because, like you said, the cat and mouse game is unbelievable that they run. It is way too hard to guard them on both ends, on every type of way you can use a pick and roll. They do it beautifully. And on top of it, you have Aaron Gordon just sitting there waiting to get a roll to the basket. And if he's not open, then you have the opposite corner with Michael Porter Jr., who's 9 times out of 10 ready to go, shooting the ball right away. And, I mean, speaking of Michael Porter, we saw that shot at the end of the game that put them within one. They could have lost that game if that possession went differently. Got the offensive rebound. Michael Porter put up the three, made it a 1-point game, a couple minutes left to go. Now that was a game-changing play. And, yeah, they just have so many players that are ready and going to make that play. And the Denver Nuggets are just going to be a really, 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 really tough team to beat for every other team in the NBA.
For a long time. I've been saying they're the Spurs. I've been saying they're the modern-day Spurs. Yeah. They're fundamentally sound. They're the best team in transition. It seems like every time they have a fast-break opportunity, they make every single correct pass. It's like Jokic already has three different scenarios in his head as the ball is in midair towards his hands. As he's receiving a pass, he has three scenarios in his head, and he's like, it's just immediate reaction to what he's going to do. He he can do so many different things, and as soon as he catches the ball, boom, somebody's open down there in the block. Oh, as soon as he catches the ball, okay, now he can fucking go body him in the post. Oh, he catches the ball at the three. Oh, he can bang a three. Like, he is unreal. And he can't be stopped.
And he was making Anthony Davis look like he was a low-level center.
Because he is.
That's something I would agree with, but he really made him look like he was a bad, bad player. And not only did he make him look bad, dude, Anthony Davis didn't put up a single point in the entire fourth quarter. 0 points the whole fourth quarter.
All I'm saying is, you know, I don't remember Michael Jordan at the end of his career losing to dynasties in the playoffs. You know, Michael Jordan was the dynasty at the end of his career. I think that's a great way to wrap up this show.
his career was much shorter.
Wow.
Can we do quick predictions for the game tonight?
Quick picks. It's a good idea.
Of course.
What three games we got tonight? We got
they're going to be listening to this tomorrow. I guess we'll see if we got them right because they're going to be listening to this tomorrow. Whatever.
Yeah, who cares?
Who do we got tonight?
So we got the Suns, Timberwolves,
Bucks, Pacers, Clippers, Mavericks.
Yes.
I'm going to go – all right, we'll start with Suns Timberwolves. I'll probably go Suns. I think they're going to get it 1-1 here.
I agree. You pissed off Kevin Durant. Let's see how he responds. Yeah. I like the Suns tonight.
Yep.
You called him an old-ass beep.
So badass.
Suns. It was tough, but I don't know.
And if they win 2-0, now it's really badass.
Oh, yeah. If you can come out and they can get a win tonight against the Suns, that's bad. But you pissed off the Slim Reaper. We'll see what he does. Yeah, I'm excited. Exactly.
Can't go against him. 1-1 to me.
I would say 1-1 too.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bucks, lock it in.
Yep.
Bucks. Yeah.
Yeah. Bucks 2-0. I think this might end up being a gentleman or even a sweep. And then Clippers, Mavs.
I got Mavericks. Bounce back game.
Are they in Dallas?
No, they're still in LA.
Which don't really mean anything.
That does.
The Clippers are like the White Sox. I guess when they show up,
I think they take a commanding 2-0.
I'll go Mavericks. I like it. And that's
and
it for tonight.
Kawhi Leonard is good to go, so I'm definitely going.
Oh, that's dangerous. Dangerous. I'm still going to go Mavericks.
Mavs.
All right.
There we go.
That's going to wrap us up. We'll see how good spot on we were tomorrow.
What'd you say?
See how right we were tomorrow.
No. Well, today, actually. Well, we're recording.
Just cut that last part.